Let us look at the Lord together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. We rejoice that we can come before your holy presence, your children, to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you, and also to hear what you have to say to us. We rejoice we can join our hearts and spirit with your children in many different parts of the world this day, to glorify your name, to exalt the name of Christ. And we pray that you'll be pleased to be in our midst, that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us. That, Father, you will help us to understand, to have spiritual insight into the meaning of your kingdom and how we can participate in the furtherance of your kingdom. We know that this is an issue close to your heart, and we pray that we may learn how to see things the way you do, in line with what you've revealed in the scriptures. For we commit this time to your loving hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 116th message. We are considering the kingdom of God, the 8th message. The subtopic for today, prayer and fellowship. Prayer and fellowship. We have been considering the vital issue of effective participation in the advancement of God's kingdom. We can say that this is an issue that's extremely important for God's children. We've noted that the kingdom of God is a reality in the spiritual realm, manifesting God's reign, his character, power, and glory, and essentially moral and spiritual. So if we want to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom, we must concentrate on positive moral and spiritual input in the spiritual realm. This is a vital aspect that we need to constantly remember. And this understanding coincides with and helps us appreciate the biblical emphasis on the major issues of the Christian faith. For example, worship, fellowship amongst the brethren, prayer, spiritual warfare and setting the captives free, moral and spiritual stature, preaching and teaching. The Lord, through the scriptures, emphasizes the importance of nurturing the positive qualities of the inner man, our relationship with God, and fellowship amongst the brethren. And all these are key issues in relation to the advancement of God's kingdom, and we are trying to spend some time to ponder over these various major aspects and its relationship with the advancement of God's kingdom. These are also key issues in the outworking of church life. It's helpful to remember that all these spiritual realities and spiritual exercises that we are considering, they have a direct impact on the spiritual realm. They not only help us to be ready for participation in the advancement of God's kingdom, these various spiritual realities and exercises are in themselves already impacting the spiritual realm and contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. They proclaim and manifest the power and glory of God, the reign of God, the kingship of Christ and God, and they strike fear in the forces of darkness and weaken their power and influence. So we have looked at one major area in greater detail, and that is the area of worship. And now I want to consider with you another major and related area, that is prayer. The potential and significance of prayer in contributing to the positive spiritual atmosphere and the advancement of God's kingdom. Generally, believers do recognize the importance of prayer. At the same time, there are many who love the Lord who do recognize that insufficient attention is paid to it. Let us look to the Lord together that he may help us to have a clearer understanding as well as a stronger conviction about this vital aspect of our faith. And not only understand but that the Lord may help us to know how to take steps to nurture and also to learn how to exercise ourselves in effective prayer. It requires deliberate discipline. It is not easy, and the evil one will oppose it. But if we persevere, it will be extremely rewarding from the perspective of God's kingdom. And to move well in that direction, a very important aspect is to be properly motivated. We need to see the importance and the significance of prayer more deeply, more clearly, and also how to move in that direction and the implications involved. So we've seen that the kingdom of God is a spiritual reality, or rather it's a reality in the spiritual realm. So it is quite clear that the advancement of God's kingdom cannot be by human effort or by worldly means. No matter how capable you are, no matter how many resources you may have at your disposal, if you rely on worldly wisdom and the ways of the world, if you rely on your own bright ideas and the capabilities of the inner man, or rather of the natural man, then you will not be able to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. It is not uncommon for professing Christians to rely on these things, including many activities to attract non-believers, and also activities to attract believers. In fact, this is an area that we must all be alert to and be careful that we do not allow worldly and fleshly means to creep in and corrupt God's work, including our working in church life. And this tends to occur when the basis of our approach and evaluation is what appears to work, what appears to give results. This tends to impress believers and affect us a lot. Especially what appears to work and what appears to give results in the realm of the visible or statistics. Now, it does not mean the realm of the visible and statistics are not relevant. But we must take care that we have to concentrate on seeking God's guidance, God's enabling, and what God has revealed in the scriptures. The starting point and our approach must be based on, and they must flow forth from, the teaching of the scriptures. We must learn how to be guided by God, empowered by God, and especially if we want to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom, and to do so through positive input in the spiritual realm. And positive input in the spiritual realm can only come about through reliance on God and God's enabling. And it is in this regard that you will help us to see very clearly that prayer is an extremely important means ordained by God for men to participate in the advancement of His kingdom. Because prayer is direct spiritual impact in the spiritual realm. It has great potential and significance. The scriptures clearly teaches that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. James 5, verse 16. And they can accomplish much here, quite clearly. It has to do with accomplishing much in the spiritual realm, not from a worldly perspective or in this world, but it is accomplishing much in God's kingdom. But notice, it is effective prayer. One, prayer. The other is must be effective prayer. Prayer, extremely important. We must also learn how to pray effectively. The other is effective prayer of a righteous man. So the qualities of the person praying is extremely important. The state and the quality of his inner man and his moral, the moral dimension in his life. A righteous man. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The advancement of God's kingdom involves spiritual warfare. This is something that we have seen. And the Apostle Paul tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is the passage in Ephesians chapter 6 on spiritual warfare, one of the most important passages in the scriptures on spiritual warfare. And it is a passage that believers need to spend time to carefully study, ponder over. Paul is here in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. In these words, he's trying to tell us that at the heart of it, in our response to God's call, and that is what the whole epistle of Ephesians is talking about from chapter 1. What is in the heart of God, the mystery, with the coming of Christ, it is now revealed. What was already in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. And that God wants us to have a part in the outworking of his purposes. And in this context, in the closing part of the epistle, Paul comes to a very important aspect, and that is spiritual warfare. Because if we want to fulfill God's calling, the outworking of God's purposes, if we want to participate in it, then we must be involved in spiritual warfare. Because the advancement of God's kingdom will have to mean the retreat of the kingdom of darkness. And so Paul tells us, at the heart of it, our struggle, our efforts, what is it? It's not so much in the realm of the visible, neither is it just trying to overcome various hindrances or even the antagonism of men. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul uses many words. By the heart of it, he's trying to tell us it is a struggle against the forces of darkness. The battle takes place in the spiritual realm. It is against the forces of darkness. And how can we fight this battle in our own strength? By human effort. It is not possible. That is why Paul tells us in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. This is essential. We want to participate in God's kingdom. We want to wage this spiritual warfare effectively. We must be strong, but not at a natural level. It is strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. I will now just highlight some aspects. This is a very important passage. It can take many messages to go through it properly. But I want to highlight some aspects. Paul goes on to tell us that truth, righteousness, and faith are critical in verses 14 and 16. Verse 14, he says, stand firm. That is, if you want to stand firm in the midst of the spiritual warfare, we must have our loins girded with truth. And then put on the breastplate of righteousness. So truth, righteousness, and verse 16, taking up the shield of faith. All these are critical. We can say all these will then help us to be ready in presenting the gospel of peace. Verse 15, he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the readiness of the gospel of peace. If you want to be ready to spread the gospel, the good news of what God intends for us in Christ, then we must recognize our struggle is in the spiritual realm against the forces of darkness. And truth, righteousness, faith, all these are critical for our lives. And then Paul goes on to emphasize, and he culminates the passage on spiritual warfare with the importance of prayer. Because it is through prayer that we draw near to God, to seek his guidance and his enabling to fight the good fight of faith. So Paul emphasizes the importance of prayer from verses 18 to 20. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want to highlight a few aspects here. We see the words beginning from verse 18. The very strong thrust of the importance of prayer, and not just in isolated moments. Paul says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. And not only that, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. So looking to the Spirit to guide us and also to enable us in our prayer, and also the recognition that finally, for prayer to be effective, the Spirit's guidance enabling and the Spirit to move. And it is through prayer that we move God to work, to manifest His power and His glory. And all these are critical for the advancement of God's kingdom. Not only that, the Apostle Paul emphasizes to us, he says, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Not only pray for all people, not only pray in the Spirit, but with perseverance. That means we need to continue to exercise ourselves in prayer. And the exercise in prayer in the Holy Spirit can accomplish a tremendous amount in the spiritual realm. And Paul emphasizes again his petition for all the saints. And then he went on to request prayer for himself. And Paul is someone who is very deeply involved in the Lord's work. So prayer for those who are very much involved in the Lord's work and facing a lot of spiritual opposition, they need a lot of prayer support. And Paul, recognizing the importance of prayer, requests for prayer support, and he elaborates. He didn't just say, pray for me. And again in his other epistles, he also requests for prayer. But Paul also here tells us a little bit more that can help us understand how to pray for people like Paul. He says, pray on my behalf. And then he highlights some aspects. That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. If you look at it, it may seem a bit strange. Doesn't Paul already know so much about the mystery of the gospel? Then why is he asking for prayer? That utterance may be given to him to make known the mystery of the gospel. Doesn't he already know what is the gospel and how to go about preaching the gospel? Well, one aspect can include Paul having a fuller, deeper appreciation of the gospel. But I see here, likely, the primary thrust is not so much the understanding part, because Paul already knew a lot. But for those who do not yet know so much, yes, that will be a major area that we can also pray for them. But for Paul, the request for prayer is because of his recognition, as he has told us earlier in the passage, there's a struggle in the spiritual realm. There's spiritual opposition. So even though he wants to communicate the gospel, he's requesting for prayer that others praying together with him and praying on his behalf may help him to communicate the mystery of the gospel with great effectiveness. That utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Boldness because there's opposition, there's difficulty, that he will not shrink back. The other is utterance given that he may know the right words to use and that the Lord will empower him. And he mentions again the next verse, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that he wants to communicate and speak in the way that God desires of him. Paul also tells us in the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, he says, "We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." It's spiritual warfare. We cannot use fleshly weapons, but he says the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. It is reasonably clear here. The destruction of fortresses refers to the fortresses of the enemy, the forces of darkness. Prayer and reliance on God is at the heart of effective spiritual warfare and divinely powerful for the destruction of the fortresses of the enemy. I'll now summarize some major aspects of significance of effective prayer in the advancement of God's kingdom. Effective prayer would contribute significantly to the positive spiritual atmosphere in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the context of effective prayer, there will be the affirming as well as the proclamation and the manifestation of God's power and glory. It also goes together with worship, which we have already spent some time to consider in the preceding messages. And all this would be affecting the spiritual realm, where God's power is released and God has a freedom to manifest his power, to release his power, to manifest his power and glory. Another major aspect of prayer is praying in the direction of God working in the hearts of non-believers. That the Spirit of God would work in the hearts of non-believers to prepare their hearts, to remove the obstacles, to help them to understand, to clear away the misunderstandings, the wrong concepts, to remove their fears, to take away their prejudices, to help them to be receptive, to be open to the truth of the gospel. And the Spirit of God working in their hearts to help them to enter God's kingdom. And all these, even from a distance, even from many, many miles apart, we can pray that the Spirit of God will work in the hearts of those who do not know him. We can pray not only for non-believers, another very major area of prayer is praying concerning the lives of believers. And there are many different aspects of the lives of believers that we are concerned about that we can pray for them. Whether it be spiritual difficulties they are going through, whether it be major areas they are seeking to work at, whether it be their work context, whatever it may be. By the heart of it, the primary concern is in the direction of God's call for their lives, their knowledge of God, their relationship with God, their growth in moral and spiritual stature. So there are many different areas, aspects that we can pray and contribute to the lives of believers. And contribution to the lives of believers directly contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. We looked at this in earlier messages. I'll elaborate a little on this afterwards. Another major aspect is praying for God to enable his servants. In one sense, this is general. All those who know God are God's servants, but in particular, those who are serving the Lord more intensely, more definitely, in difficult situations, and very deeply involved in the advancement of God's kingdom and in spiritual warfare, facing opposition from the evil one. Prayer is extremely important to sustain, to enable, God's servants to carry on. We look at this in Paul's request for prayer for his own life. Another major aspect of contribution in prayer is the countering of the negative spiritual atmosphere and the work of the forces of darkness. Bear in mind, all these areas are mentioned so that we are a bit clearer, but they are all interrelated and they overlap. For example, countering the negative spiritual atmosphere, the work of forces of darkness, this is also related to praying for believers as well as non-believers. This involves spiritual warfare, and it involves tearing down and destroying the stronghold of the enemy, which we looked at just now. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the destruction of fortresses of the enemy, and prayer is extremely important in this regard. Destroying the stronghold of the enemy includes praying in the direction of countering or the removal of deception, fear, spiritual bondage, the evil one blinding the minds of the unbelieving, the evil one working in such a way that believers or non-believers are entangled, overwhelmed by the affairs of this life, so that they are not able to hear what God is speaking to them, and believers are not able to work out their lives well, or gripped by greed and lustful desires. Prayer can loosen the stranglehold of the enemy. The evil one works in various ways to cause believers as well as non-believers to be very much under his influence, entangled, or various forms of spiritual bondage. And we can't contribute to the Lord's work and the lives of different ones, whether it be believers or non-believers, in many different contexts. It can be the immediate context for our personal, our own lives, the lives of loved ones, the lives of those close to us in our working or church life. It can be at the level of the country and even the much wider context of the whole world. And these are not just vague concepts. In reality, God desires us to participate, to contribute in this way. This is what Paul already tells us. We've seen that in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul tells us the same thing in his epistle to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1, that he urges us that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. It includes praying for those in authority, because they can have a lot of their actions, how they fulfill their responsibilities, can have a lot of implications for many people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, praying for kings, all who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet, a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. That there's a context, an environment that's helpful for believers as well as for the spread of the gospel. And Paul emphasizes this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's also linked to God's desire, God's concern for the salvation of men, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is indeed great potential and far-reaching implications in effective prayer. But there is a very important qualification that we need to bear in mind. Although there is a lot of potential in prayer and effective prayer, it doesn't mean that anybody and just anybody can pray very effectively. The effectiveness of prayer, a very important prerequisite, or you can say at the heart of it, a very major factor at the base of it, it requires spiritual strength and stamina. It requires spiritual maturity, spiritual understanding and wisdom in prayer. This is a very, very important aspect that contributes to effective prayer. And this is something that we need to pay a lot of attention to. We want to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. How do we go about it? The scriptures clearly teach us that prayer is extremely important. Spiritual warfare is involved. And so we need to grow strong in the Lord. Spiritual maturity, strength, stamina, understanding, wisdom in prayer, knowledge of what is going on, the spiritual needs involved so that we can pray in those directions. All these are important. Why is prayer so powerful, potentially? Why is it that it can have such far-reaching implications? At the heart of it, it is because God is great. We worship a very powerful God. In fact, He's the Almighty God, infinitely powerful. And prayer is the major means that God has ordained through which His power and His glory will be released and manifested, and God's kingdom advances. In one sense, we can say that the kingdom of God cannot advance unless God works. That is true. So unless there's reliance on God, unless there's prayer, there's reliance on God, the kingdom of God cannot truly advance, although it may appear to be so. The other is to understand that it delights the heart of God that we work together with Him in this manner, that is, through prayer. And prayer reflects a very beautiful area of truth that God desires to communicate to us in the scriptures, and that is, He wants us to participate in the furtherance of His kingdom, in the working of His purposes, and He wants us not just to work on our own, but together with Him. And true prayer, effective prayer, in a very beautiful way, manifests these two aspects. The man must pray, and he must pray in reliance on God. And it's not just praying to God, that's all, but to grow, to learn, to understand all the richness and potential in prayer, and at the heart of it, as we move in a direction, it helps us to move in a direction of increasing depth of relationship with God, knowledge of God, and how God works, as well as knowledge of the realities of the spiritual realm, how the evil one works. And there's so very much that God wants to teach us through prayer and spiritual warfare, and in the midst of it all, also for us to learn and to grow in the Lord. And that is why, again and again, the scriptures not only encourages us through exhortations, but also through examples, like Anna we've seen. The scriptures highlight Anna at the first coming of Christ. And what is it that stands out in this godly woman's life? What stands out is that she is a woman of prayer. And not just that she prays, she prays, she is serving God in fastings and prayer night and day for many years. Another aspect of the significance of effective prayer that we can take note of is that it is very helpful for the life of the one praying. When we pray, it's not just that we contribute to the lives of other people, but it is extremely helpful and important for the life of the one praying. When we pray, we must draw near to God. We draw near to God in prayer. We learn to rely on God. And that's very important for our well-being, for our growth, for our relationship with God. We learn to seek God, to seek His will, to seek His guidance, to look to Him for His enabling, to seek to understand His ways and how He works. Through prayer, we draw near to God also for spiritual refreshment, for spiritual strengthening. It's a time where we draw near to God to seek to deepen our relationship with God. And prayer is extremely important to deepen the quality of our relationship with God. It's a time of learning from the Lord. Prayer is also a time to learn to put into practice the biblical truths and principles. A time where we reflect over what we've been learning from the Lord, and the Lord can help us to see more clearly, more deeply, the biblical truths and principles that He's been trying to help us to understand the time of prayer, and then to exercise ourselves in prayer, bearing in mind the biblical trust, principles, and truths involved. And as we do so, in fellowship with God, with this heart of drawing near to God, learning from God, it will result in deeper insight into what is revealed in the Scriptures. We have some understanding, but as we learn to do so in prayer, we'll find that the truths not only become alive to us, but there'll be spiritual insight, and not only spiritual insight, a much deeper appreciation of what these truths mean. And together with that, if we are alert, sensitive to what God desires to teach us, then with time, in the midst of prayer, as we look to God to learn from Him, we will grow in our understanding of the realities in the spiritual realm. A deeper appreciation of the moral and spiritual principles that are operating, and there are many. And it's very helpful for believers to grow in our appreciation and understanding of what are these moral and spiritual principles and how they operate, including understanding the ways of God, the wiles of the evil one, how to pray effectively. And as we pray, we also seek to discern the impact of prayer. And although we cannot always immediately see the impact of prayer, with passing time, there are many aspects in which we can see God at work through prayer, and how we pray, how it impacts the spiritual realm. We can learn how God wants men to fulfill His part as intended by God, and to learn how to pray effectively. So all this would also result in the development of spiritual strength and stamina. If we learn how to exercise ourselves in prayer with regulation, we will develop spiritual strength and stamina, moral and spiritual growth and maturity. I mentioned about regulation because prayer involves spiritual warfare, and we need to be wise, to look to the Lord to help us to learn to exercise ourselves to a degree that is feasible for us at our stage of development, and especially if we are praying for contexts where there is intense spiritual opposition, or we are praying for people experiencing spiritual difficulties, then we need to be careful to regulate how intensely we pray for such situations. But in general, if we more pray in the direction for God to work in those contexts, it is all right. It is only when we pray the manner of prayer of a more confrontational kind, in confronting the forces of darkness at work in the situation, that the spiritual opposition can become very intense and it can become too difficult for us. The other is in our prayer life, a balanced, healthy prayer life. We must always remember to pray adequately for ourselves. The other is to remember that the bedrock and the foundation of effective prayer life is worship. So when we spend much time in worship, not only is it very meaningful, effective from various directions which you already considered in earlier messages, it also strengthens us It doesn't drain us. Worship of God strengthens us and enables us to then pray more effectively for others in a way that we can cope with. Regulation in prayer. I mentioned about not going beyond what we can. How to know whether we've gone beyond what we can. How to know whether we are overexerting ourselves. I don't intend to go into details at the moment, but just some brief comments. Because I think it needful to say a little bit, a strong exhortation to develop our prayer life, to pray, although very important, if we are not careful, we do not bear in mind regulation, then we may actually enter into spiritual difficulties because spiritual warfare is involved. So regulation means that as we pray, especially as I mentioned, in where it involves prayer of a more intense kind or prayer that involves overcoming the forces of darkness, spiritual opposition, then we need to be alert to whether as we exercise ourselves in prayer, do we find ourselves spiritually overtaxed, drained, our relationship with God, the freshness is affected, and then we find we're not so able to pray properly, we're not so able to receive from the Lord in our time with Him, in our time in fellowship with other believers. We can say at the crux of it, it's not so much that as we pray, we face difficulties. That is not the critical issue. Even when our prayer, we are not overtaxed, when it is in line with what God desires of us, it is good, meaningful exercise in prayer, we can still face various difficulties. The evil one will not be happy. But that in itself is all right. The critical issue is to consider whether our lives are being negatively affected. So that's one major issue that you need to consider, to be alert to. That we are hindered in our walk with God, our fellowship with God. Not just whether we face difficulties. If we are able to carry on well in our walk with God, then spiritual exercise in prayer will actually contribute to the development of spiritual strength and stamina. But this is something we need to exercise some care. But as I said, if we pay sufficient attention to our own spiritual life and prayer also, sufficient time to pray for ourselves, we should always begin with that and also the time of worship of God, and then to regulate prayer for other aspects of the Lord's work, to regulate it accordingly. Prayer is also important to bear in mind that prayer is a vital and integral part of the effective outworking of church life. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we've referred to this verse from time to time, a manifestation of healthy outworking of church life in the early church. What were they doing? They were continually devoting themselves to a few things, and one of them is prayer. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Notice, continually devoting themselves. It's extremely important. They were continually devoting themselves. And here, it is not just individual. They were. It's part of the expression of the life of the body of church life. And effective prayer must undergird every aspect and expression of healthy church life. Whether it be major meetings of church life, like worship service, prayer meetings, meeting in small groups, home fellowship group meetings in our context, as well as all expressions of body life, including our concern and our reaching out to non-believers. Every aspect must be undergirded by prayer. prayer is an expression of our relationship with God, our fellowship with Him. It's an expression of our dependence on Him, looking to Him for guidance, for enabling. And through prayer, we also deepened our submission to the headship of Christ. We can say prayer is the basis for true contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom. And without prayer and reliance on God, then whatever we may try to do, whatever we may say, it will not make any positive difference to the advancement of God's kingdom. This is something that we must always bear in mind. And so let us recognize the importance of seeking God for a fuller appreciation and deeper conviction of the potential and significance of the various aspects of prayer in contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. This includes our personal prayer life, prayer in undergirding all expressions of the outworking of church life. And I also want to highlight the importance of prayer for prayer meetings, and then prayer regards to what Paul tells us, to pray without ceasing, a constant consciousness of God, reliance on Him, looking to Him for guidance, for enabling. It's wonderful that God has ordained it this way, that prayer can be so significant in contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom, because prayer is something that all of God's children can participate in. Whatever your age, whatever your physical condition, wherever you may be, it's not limited by space nor geographical context. Anyone, anywhere, anytime, young or old, whatever your age, whatever your physical condition. Let us learn from our perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ. He spent much time in prayer, sometimes the whole night in prayer. I did not intend to go into detail, but you can make a study of it. Sometimes we may feel we are very busy. We don't have much time to devote to prayer. But if you study the life of Lord Jesus, we find that in the midst of busyness, and especially when he is very involved in ministry, he makes special effort to set apart even more time to pray. At times, spending the whole night in prayer. When he has major decisions to make, like the appointment of the 12, he spent much time in prayer. When he knew he was facing the cross, he spent much time in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing in prayer. I will not elaborate now. As I said, you can ponder over further as an encouragement to our own lives and the need to develop in this area of prayer. I had wanted to go on to another major area for today, and that is the potential and significance of gathering for true fellowship. I don't think it is feasible to cover this issue today. So as we prepare ourselves to partake of supper, let's reflect on the importance of prayer in the advancement of God's kingdom. Prayer and the implications for our own lives, our own relationship with God, and our own personal spiritual development, and where our own life makes progress in moral spiritual stature and our relationship with God. Bear in mind, that is actually a major aspect of the advancement of God's kingdom. Remember in an earlier message I mentioned that the advancement of God's kingdom takes place primarily in the hearts of men. And there are two major aspects in regards to the advancement of God's kingdom in the hearts of men. One is non-believers becoming Christians. That is what many believers are very conscious of in regards to the advancement of God's kingdom. But actually, the other is even more striking and important, and the stronger emphasis in the scriptures, and that is the advancement of God's kingdom in the hearts of believers. And most of the scriptures including the Gospels, the teaching of Christ, and the New Testament and the Epistles, they are all directed at the growth of believers. As believers grow in moral, spiritual stature, then the meaning of God's reign in their hearts, and then the continuing manifestation of the glory of God through the lives of believers, the significance and the power of the light that shines forth in the lives of believers. This is a continuing thing and a continuing witness in the spiritual realm, as well as witness to other believers and non-believers. So prayer contributes significantly in the growth of the believer and directly makes a difference regards to the advancement of God's kingdom. But we've seen that prayer is extremely important in regards to the advancement of God's kingdom in relation to the Lord's work and the lives of others, whether it be believers or non-believers. May the Lord speak to us and convict us of our need to spend time to ponder further on this subject and to see what steps we can take to nurture our prayer life and to look to the Lord to teach us how to exercise ourselves in effective prayer. And that the Lord may help us to see the importance of this, not only in our personal prayer life, but also the significance of prayer life, or rather prayer in relation to the working of church life. How we can move well in that direction together as members of the body of Christ. So let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of Lord's Supper, draw near to the Lord, reflect on all these major issues that the Scriptures emphasizes. Let us ask the Lord to help us that we may know how to equip ourselves for effective spiritual warfare. The need to deepen in our knowledge of God, to grow in moral, spiritual stature, to learn how to exercise ourselves in prayer in a manner that will contribute to our own growth, the growth of others, as well as participating in and contributing in the direction of many others who do not yet know the Lord, to be more ready for and to enter God's kingdom. Through prayer, it is feasible to make a difference in every aspect of our own lives and the lives of others. It has direct impact on the spiritual realm. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for drawing us to yourselves, for helping us to enter your kingdom, and thank you that we can have a part in the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, we recognize that the advancement of your kingdom takes place in the spiritual realm, and our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. And we need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God. Father, we pray that you help us, that we know how to equip ourselves in line with what you revealed in the Scriptures, that we may indeed fight the good fight of faith. That the weapons of our warfare will not be of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We pray that you will help each one of us to pay due attention to to our personal walk with you, our relationship with you, to grow well in you, and to learn to nurture our prayer life, to learn how to depend on you, rely on you, sensitive to your teaching, your guidance, and to depend on you for your enabling. We thank you for the teaching of the scriptures, that the prayer, effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And we know it's your desire that each one of your children learn to pray effectively. Whoever we may be, wherever we may be, we thank you that we can continually contribute to the advancement of your kingdom through prayer. We know that true prayer is not easy, as it would involve spiritual opposition. It involves spiritual warfare. And we ask that you will help us to learn well, so that we will be able to contribute effectively, continually, to the advancement of your kingdom, not only at a personal level, but also together in church life. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will prepare our hearts, that we will not partake in an unworthy manner, that you help us to deal with areas in our lives that are displeasing to you, that hinders the working of your spirit in our lives, that gives ground to the evil one to work. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask and pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.